Good morning and welcome, everybody. Thank you, everybody, for taking the time to be here. And a special thank you to Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schachter, who's taken the time to kick off our series to start off this morning. I'd like to start off by thanking the sponsors of our entire series, Toby and Nachman Lokshin, who have kindly sponsored this on the occasion of the 25th yahrzeit of Toby's father, Mr. Abram Flesher, Avram Eliezer ben Yehuda Leib Anav HaShalom, Nishmosoi Aiden. He shared the schus of the continued learning and inspiration that this series does bring to us. Thank you to the Lokshins. Also this morning, we'd like to thank we have special sponsors, four sponsors just for today's session, where we thank Hilary Storch, who's sponsoring Lila Nishmas, her father, Mr. Martin Storch, Mendel Noach Ben Tzvi Herschel, Olav HaShalom, and her grandmother, Mrs. Molly Munveis, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, Fager Malka Bas Chaim Yochanan. Hilary, Emet Hashem, you should have continued Chizuk, and thank you for sharing, for always being part of the community. We want to also thank Eliezer Cohen, Dr. Judith Cohen, who are sponsoring on the New York side of Eliezer's sister, Dr. Cohen's daughter, Ruth Cohen, Rochel Rivka Bas Yitzchak HaKohen, Alea Shalom. She should always be a blessing when she's mentioned. Yehi Zichra Baruch. Also, thanks to Ed and Sandy Clark for sponsoring the yard side of Ed's grandmother, Mrs. Sadie Clark Zissel Bas Moshe Asher Zeleg, Alea Hashalom. She have continued nachas from the growing mishpacha always. And also in honor of a mazel tov from Naomi and David Kasowitz, who are sponsoring upon the engagement 1 week ago of Josh Kasowitz to Sarah Lefkowitz. What a very, very special occasion. Thank you for sharing it with us, and we look forward to sharing that simcha with everybody together. So thank you so much, everybody, for bringing all these special occasions to our moment. And let's start right now. I want to just explain to people, for those who do not know, Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schachter, what a opportunity this is that we have this moment together. Most people are very much aware, Rabbi Schachter was actually in our shul just a short year ago, PC, pre-corona. But for those who are not aware, Rabbi Dr. Jacob J. Schachter is the professor of Jewish history and Jewish thought and the senior scholar of the Center of the Jewish Future of Yeshiva University. He served as the dean of the Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik Institute in Boston, and was the first rabbi of Young Israel of Sharon, Massachusetts. He also was with community today, which is thriving under my dear colleague, Rabbi Noah Chessis, and also served as the rabbi of the Jewish Center of Manhattan from 1981 to 2000, moving the community from 180 members to over 600 during the course of his tenure, and served as the rabbi of Maimonides Minyan in Brooklyn from 2000 to 2005. He has written many books and many articles and leads the way as a voice of not just a rabbi, but the rabbi's rabbi. So many of myself and my colleagues turn to Rabbi Schachter as a mentor, as a guide, and as an example of what it means to be an exemplary rabbi. Rabbi Schachter, thank you so much for taking the time this morning.
A pleasure. Really a pleasure. Thank you for your introduction and thank you for inviting me.
This is really, I think all of us are just experiencing a lot of, we're feeling a great sense of weight upon our shoulders as this year, besides the corona element of it, just the immense loss that we've experienced. We just, this vacuum we can't really fill. And so we're just trying to take a moment to appreciate Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam. And in a way that, you know, we've all heard little pieces about him. We've heard, you know, some of us had the opportunity of meeting him. Some of us had the opportunity of hearing him speak. Some of us have read some of his articles. Some of us have been in Yeshiva University at the time that he was president. But I feel like we all hold different cards or different facets of that personality. And we're hoping we can gain a better perspective. Perhaps let's start at the very beginning. When was the first time you even heard of Rabbi Lam?
I do want to say before I begin that I very, very much welcome and applaud this effort. Like all of you, I've been reeling from the challenges that we're facing and from the losses that we have sustained. We have lost many, 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 many people in my own family. We've sustained two very, very profound losses. But it's not just the personal losses, but you're focusing on the communal losses, on the losses of individuals who have played an outsized role in the unfolding of our community. And I applaud you, I commend you, Rabbi Trump, for deciding to devote some time to reflect on them and their lives, their achievements, and their impacts. I heard of Rabbi Lamb for the first time, hard for me to remember, when I was young, very young. My late father, Zichrono Livracha, Rabbi Herschel Schachter, was a mentor of Dr. Lamb's. He knew him when Dr. Lamb was very young, before he was Dr. Lamb, before he was Rabbi Lamb. My father was a very prominent modern Orthodox rabbi for many, many, many decades and spent a lot of time in the world of Yeshiva University. My father was the very first one to get smicha from Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik after he came to Yeshiva University in 1942, 1943 is when my father got smicha and got to know Norman Lamb. Norman Lamb was interested as an undergraduate in going into chemistry. And I heard both from my father and from Dr. Lamb that my father was instrumental in inspiring him to leave the world of chemistry and to devote his life to the rabbinate and to the Jewish people. So I don't know exactly at which point I heard his name, but it must have been when I was very young in my house, as my father was talking about this really super smart, sharp, great young talent that he was trying to prevail upon to move into the Jewish world.
Wow. I mean, that decision really changed the course of Jewish
history. Yeah. You know, you're going to be talking about Rabbi Dr. Jonathan Sacks, Lord Jonathan Sacks, at some point in this series. In a sense, it's a similar kind of a story, someone who grows up but with no intention at all to enter into the Jewish world, but the pivotal experience in his case made all the difference.
That is unbelievable. What is the chus among many, so many, that your father played in the course?
Yes, thank you. I think that's actually a takeaway, because I think our goal today is not just to focus on someone who lived in the past, but so what can we learn? And I think we could learn to take advantage of moments that occur in our lives and focus on them and recognize how essentially important they are and maybe even how transformative they could be, not just to gloss over them. To live in the moment and see where it takes us. It's an important takeaway for all of us.
Wow, that is very profound. That is very profound. All of those people seeing the future, seeing what could be in these moments. If we fast forward just a little bit then, so when was your first encounter with Rabbi Lamb yourself? As at which stage in your career was this? How did that flesh itself out?
So I don't remember the first time that I met him personally. It must have been at some point in my teens. I'm not really sure. But the first conversation, serious conversation I remember having with him was when I came to try out to be the rabbi at the Jewish Center in June of 1981. He had served as the rabbi of the Jewish Center. He got there in 1958. He was the assistant rabbi. Rabbi Dr. Leo Young, Zichrono Livracha, was the rabbi. Dr. Lamb, Rabbi Lamb came as the assistant rabbi. He had already served as assistant rabbi at the KJ at Kiliath Cheshurun on the Upper East Side under the tutelage of Rabbi Joseph Lookstein. And then he went to Springfield, Massachusetts, where he was a rabbi for a couple of years, and came back to New York, assistant rabbi at the Jewish Center. He was there until he became the president of Yeshiva University. In the last year or two, Rabbi Young became the senior rabbi or the emeritus rabbi, and Rabbi Lamb became the senior rabbi himself, or the rabbi. There was a rabbi in between, Rabbi Isaac Bernstein, Zichrono Livracha, for a couple of years, and then I tried out for the job. And I went to see him on Friday morning, Erev Shabbos. I was then living, as you pointed out, in Massachusetts. And I came into New York for Shabbos, and I made an appointment in advance to visit him. I thought that would be a politic smart thing for me to do, especially because I am not a musmach of Yeshiva University. He was the president of Yeshiva University. I was up against two other candidates, both of whom were musmachim of Yeshiva University. So even though he knew my father, and maybe he heard about me, but I was slogging uphill here to try to get this job. I remember calling his secretary at YU, Gladys Cherney, to set up the appointment. And it's a very telling anecdote. She has a conversation with me. We make up Friday afternoon, 101 Central Park West. It's between 70th and 71st Street. It's apartment 14G. G as in God. Got it? That's what she said to me. 14G as in God, right? You got it? Okay, so I knew already what I was in for. And I trekked up, came up to 14G on 101 Central Park West. And he essentially told me that you understand very well that I cannot support your candidacy because you're not from YU. And I said, I understand that very well, absolutely, 100%. We had a very warm, gracious conversation. He was the epitome of warmth and friendship. And Baruch Hashem, I got the job. And he was amazingly supportive and helpful for me. And I don't know if you want me, I could share a story or two.
Please.
To get sort of the inside of Dr. Lamb. So I'll give you one or two examples. Dr. Lamb was opposed to the state of Israel being perceived of at all in any messianic way. He was following the footsteps of Rabbi Soloveitchik. You know, in our shuls, we say, Avinu shebashamayim tzur Yisrael v'goalo barechet medinat Yisrael, and the next three words say it all, reshit tzmichat geulateinu. So he was opposed to that, as was Rabbi Soloveitchik. State of Israel is crucially important, but it's not messianic. It's not that it's not messianic, but I can't say for sure that it is messianic. I'm not saying it's not, but I just can't assert that it is. So my first Shabbos, I listening to the laning. I'm not listening to a word because I'm thinking about my my drasha. I don't know how many balabatim know that rabbis really need extra credit for laning because there's something else going on in their mind during the laning. So and now it comes time for me to recite the prayer for the government. So they hand me the prayer. And I look at it, it's in the Yekum Porka, and they give me the prayer, and I look at it, and I've never seen this prayer before in my life. It's kind of a strange tefillah for Israel. But I didn't have time to ask anybody, because in exactly 43 seconds, I have to read it. So I spent the next 43 seconds looking at it, so I should be able to read it properly and not stumble on my first Shabbos reading Hebrew in the prayer for the government that I never saw. So I get up, I read it, and after davening, I ask Dr. Lamb, what is this? So he said, well, I've never said the standard prayer for the government that was of Israel, that was composed by the chief rabbi of Israel, chief rabbis of Israel. I have a different prayer. I say the prayer that it's recited in the British Commonwealth. Rabbi Brody made up this prayer, and there's no reference to any messianism. My first Shabbos. So I looked at him and I said, I don't know, I feel a little bit awkward. You know, like nobody else says this. You know, I mean, the chief rabbi of Israel, the whole world says, you know, I'm sort of fumfing and, you know, like I'm not comfortable. So he looks at me and he says, Rabbi Schechter. He never called me Rabbi Schechter. He always called me Rabbi Schechter with a chaf. I'll tell you another story in a minute. Rabbi Schechter, you are now the rabbi. You decide, whatever you decide, you have my full support. I was 30 years old. That was extraordinary for me. That was a green light. You are now the rabbi. You are my rabbi. Whatever you do, I will support. And the next Shabbos, I switched and I said, Tfilah l'shalom ha-medinah, full support. And he was supportive of me, even though originally he said to me, I can't support you. But once I got the job, he was extremely gracious, helpful, supportive, extraordinary, just extraordinary.
What a sense of humility as well, to be able to submit oneself in such a way.
Yeah. When his children got married, he gave me a bracha under every chuppah, which was amazing. You know, he was the president of YU. He had 98 Rashi Yeshiva and Rabbanim and colleagues, but I was his rabbi. And I will never, never forget the kindness. I will be Makir Tov. I'll tell you, towards the end of his life, it was hard. Do you want to follow a specific trajectory, or
you carry on?
I'm free associating here.
Let's flow.
Then you'll tell me. You'll stop me if there's something else that you want. The end of his life, he was not well. He was diminished, and was quite diminished. It was very sad. But I would go visit. I would go visit him. Number of times a year, I would go up to the apartment. By then, he had moved up to 88th and Central Park West. And I would take him by the hand, and I would look him in the eyes, and I would say, Dr. Lamb, I'm here on behalf of the Jewish people to express our gratitude to you for what you did for us. We are who we are today because we are on your shoulders. And I personally, and Klal Yisrael has a Hakaras HaTov for you. And he would smile, and Mrs. Lamb, who was so kind and gracious, would smile, and was so meaningful and touching. And I did it for me. I did it for me, and I did it for the Jewish people. He was a very, very special person.
I feel a sense of terrible regret, because when I was younger, I had an opportunity to hear him and speak to him, and I didn't fully take that opportunity when I was just a young man in YU. Yeah. But every time afterwards in the rabbinate that I would see him at a dinner, I would likewise go over and say, Rabbi Lamb, I want you to know that there are so many young rabbanim in the field who look to your drosha every week.
That's true.
And gain perspective.
That's true.
On life.
Yeah. You know, thank God for Mashiach, because Chazal tell us, Kol Omer Dover B'Shem Omro Mevi Geula La'Ola. So the problem is that there are hundreds of rabbis who say Rabbi Lamb's sermons and are not Omer Dover B'Shem Omro. So the way they salvage that is at the end of the drasha, they say, oh, Uvalutzin Goyel V'Noy Meramein. So now I brought the Geula. I didn't bring the Geula that way, but I brought the Geula at least this way. Can I pick up on what you just said? Because that's another takeaway.
Yes.
There are people who are listening to this and will be listening to this who I think would be worthwhile for you to consider what Rabbi Trump just said. There are people in our lives who we consider to be really special and really important. But for whatever reason, we're too busy. We don't want to bother them. And then they don't last forever. I'm assuming they're older than us, maybe significantly older than us. And then we regret. We regret that we didn't take advantage of them. So I am asking you, I am pleading with you, sit down after this discussion. Who is there in your life? A teacher, a rabbi, a mentor, a friend, a relative, somebody who means something to you. Pick up the phone. Mirza Hashem, soon the world will open up. Meanwhile, pick up the phone, call them. And just let them know. Connect with them. Why do you have to wait until it's too late? Because it's going to be too late. If Rabbi Trump would have called up Rabbi Lamb and said, you know, I'm a young rabbi. You don't know me. I look up to you. I need a half hour. And it's a shtickle chutzpahdik, because you don't want to impose. But I'm telling you, do it. I'm telling you, all of you, do it.
Such a lesson.
Make the move now.
Such a lesson well learned. May I pick your brain just on one?
Sure, of course. I'm sorry.
I want to ask you, because there's something you mentioned just a moment ago. There's a gentleman in our shul, Mr. Bert Wechselbaum, who said he remembers at the time that Rabbi Jung was the rabbi, Rabbi Lamb was the only candidate he allowed to be his assistant rabbi at the time. I don't know if you remember, if you have access back to those days, but meaning to say, to even have entered into the shadow of Rabbi Jung was the most remarkable achievement to follow those footsteps. I don't know if that era is.
Well, I was a little boy in 1958 when he came. It's remarkable that you have a balabas in your shul who remembers back to 1958, that's 62 years ago. That's extraordinary. I wish him Richas Yamim Vishanim in good health. That's great. Amen. Amen. I have no insight and wisdom into the choice of Rabbi Lam in 1958. It was before my time.
That's wonderful. Rebbe, I just, perhaps one thing which I think is important is that it's important to have a dialogue about the person, but also just to hear the Torah. And so many of us, the archives of Rabbi Lam are being revised and the books are being published. But is there some, would you be willing to share a Dvar Torah perspective that Rabbi Lam perhaps is an exemplary Rabbi Lam, or something which resonates with you that we can also learn from as well? So this is not just a dialogue, but it's also limited as well.
Right. So I appreciate that question. And I think it would be best served for our purposes here, not to necessarily share a specific Dvar Torah, precisely because, as you said, they are so easily accessible. So many books of Dr. Lam's have been published, Drasha Ledoros, the five volumes on the Parshas HaShavua, and go back to the Lam archives, which, as you pointed out, are now being revised. And every week now, one can sign up to get the Divrei Torah. It's an extraordinary resource. But I want to give you a window and give the audience here a window into Dr. Lam that I think they may not otherwise know or have access to, and that is his sharp wit and his puns. And I'll give you just a couple of examples. And here also is a takeaway, you know, something that I try to do, but I'm so not in that galaxy. When I left the shul in 2000, I invited Dr. Lam to give a lecture the last couple of Shabbosim before I left. Sort of a goodbye lecture. So he accepted my invitation, and he gets up in front of the shul, and the shul's packed now because now, you know, these little counting down, Rabbi Schachter is leaving. Shul was always packed. I mean, that's part of the reason why I left, is because I was overwhelmed by the intensity of the numbers in the shul, and my obligation as a rabbi. It was hard for me to continue my learning and my growing. It was Shul's packed. He gets up and he says, Rabbi Schachter invited me to give a, lecture. What should I do? He's a Schachter and I'm a lamb. Do I have a choice? Of course, I'm going to do whatever it is that he says to me. That's one example. I'll give you another example. I was once walking with my father, Zichrono Livracha, in front of YU. My father was old then. He was walking with a cane. So we're walking, and Dr. Lam is coming towards us. So Dr. Lam stops, my father stops. As I mentioned, they knew one another for many, many, many years. So Dr. Lam says, Reb Herschel, lo ye yoseh kein bim kremenu. So in a nanosecond, my father responded, Reb Nochem, Al Kain Nekavelacha. Now, this is amazing. This is just the repartee of these rabbis who were so familiar and at home with Jewish knowledge and wisdom, but with such chaps. Mela, Dr. Lam, I think before had said, when he saw somebody with a cane, he said, Lo ye yoseh kein. But my father, I don't think he ever heard that. And boom. He came right back. I'll give you one final example. He gave a hesped, Dr. Lam gave a hesped for Yosef Borg. Yosef Borg was a great leader of the Mizrahi movement. He was a member of every single government of Israel until he passed away. He was a leader of Mafdal, of Mizrahi. And when he passed away, Dr. Lam gave a hesped, and he said that he had a conversation with Dr. Borg. And Dr. Borg says to him, "Nu." He meets him in Israel. He says, "Nu, va'aye haseh la'ayla venkum dilem of aliyah va'aye haseh la'ayla." So Dr. Lam says, in a nanosecond, I answered, "Bahar Hashem ye ra'eh ven deburg v'tzayn mer getlich." Now, you have to understand Yiddish for this. Bahar is a mountain, which is a barg in Yiddish. Bahar Hashem Yeroeh, when Borg will see, will demonstrate more godliness, then the Seh will come on Aliyah.
Wow.
So this is the world that he inhabited. There was a tremendous amount of wisdom, and he one thing I remember, he said to me, you know, we say in the davening every morning, it's part of the pre psukah dizim and the korbanos. So he said to me, JJ, you know what? Stop after the first three words. La'olam yehei yada. La'olam yishabi anech. The ikar is yishabi another. What follows? La'olam yehei yada mirei shamayim baseser bagolu yimoda lo emes v'dover emes bovava v'yashkem riboim riman kolelo la'yotzid koseno anachem apidum tachanu nenula. You know what? That's all great. The first three words, and you're good to go. La'olam yehei yada. You have to be a mensch. He was a consummate mensch. He was criticized a lot in his lifetime, his tenure, as well. He took very strong stands. You know, we could talk about that. He was very strongly assertive when it came to, he didn't like the term so much, whether it was modern orthodoxy or centrist orthodoxy or Torah or Mada. This was very important to him. And he took some knocks, even from within his own yeshiva and certainly from outside the yeshiva. But la'olam yehei yada, he was a big mensch. And when I first came to the Jewish Center in 1981, I was a little kid. I was 30 years old. I had Rabbi Young was right behind me. Rabbi Young lived for 5 years. He was 90 when I got there. Could have been my grandfather. He was right here behind me. And Dr. Lamb's in front of me. And I'm panicking. I'm sittering. I'm trying to give sermons in front of Rabbi Young and Rabbi Lamb, and the Pnei, big fancy Pnei of the New York Jewish Orthodox community. And I gave lousy sermons. And my first year or two, I was nervous. I couldn't. So
we don't believe that point, but I.
That's also a lesson, you know. Nobody is born into abilities, you work on it. I worked very hard. So I was not doing well. And Dr. Lamb went to the president of the shul and he said, you know what, if Rabbi Schechter wants, he can call me and I'll be happy to try to help him. Because he didn't want to call me because he didn't want to embarrass me. He told the president, Rabbi Schechter wants. So I called him. And I went to see him. And in an hour, he changed my whole perspective. He gave me pointers on sermon giving that you, Rabbi Trump, have heard me give more than once. Structure of sermon, content of sermon. That's what made his sermon so great. But he broke it down into specific things to think about that I have never, ever forgotten. And everything changed. Everything changed.
I believe when you first gave me that moment, and today, till that moment, my sermons have never been the same since I've learned a number of those.
Yeah, so you know what? It's the gift that keeps on giving. So you see that the Sif Sosov Dovavos Bekever, his words keep on resonating because they resonated with me, and through me, they resonate with others. So it's I want to highlight that most people know him as an incredible intellectual, as a very polished speaker, and he was. He was also a colossally wonderful human being, and that's important too. And also he was an incredible father and grandfather, and that's important too. You also have heard me say, as have many of your colleagues, that very often rabbis spend so much time on their communities that they slaughter their own children on the altar of the Jewish community. But Dr. Lamb was amazing. He had a license plate. He had a license plate that had C, J, S, S, L. C, J, S, S, L. And for my, decades maybe, 10 years, I couldn't figure it out. His license plate, New York State, CJSSL. And then there used to be an expression, Nafal HaAsimon, like the dime dropped, and I figured it out. Chaya, Josh, Shalom, Sarah, Lamb. It was the Rashi Tevas of his children. You know, there's an expression in English called a bumper sticker. What's your bumper sticker? It means, like, crunch it down. Like, give me three words. Like, what do you stand for? His bumper sticker was his children. That's what he carried literally. It was on his bumper, on his car. And that's also important for everybody to realize. You know, we want to be and we want to create and we want to make and we want to do and we want to accomplish. The greatest thing that we can accomplish is if we're zoche to have children, if our children become our bumper sticker. That's the ick.
Wow.
So he was very special. Yeah, sorry.
How to be a rabbi of a shul of that magnitude, and also to be later on president of YU for three decades, I mean, how did he possibly find that time?
By the time he became president of YU, his children were older already and were pretty much off and running. When he was the rabbi of the shul, I don't know how he did it, I myself tried to do it when I was the rabbi of the Jewish Center for 19 years. And that is focus on your kids. I stayed home for 10 years when my kids came home from school. My wife is a psychologist, a psychoanalyst. She had a private practice, and I made it my business to be home when they came home, and I figured it out. And rabbis shouldn't worry about that, because on the contrary, I tell this to my students all the time, that you model for your balabatim what it means to be a father when you tell them, you know, I'm sorry, I can't come to that meeting because my kid has a chumash play. I have to go to the chumash play. And they're not going to think less of you. They may be annoyed, like, you know, the rabbi, you know, we're paying his salary. But your job is to model for them what it means to live a full life. And the part of the way to model that is to say, you know what, you need to be a father also. And don't worry about it. I'll get the job done. I'll do it. You know, either try to move the meeting or let's discuss in advance. I'll tell you what I'm thinking. I'm all in, deep dive, totally in the shul. But I need to take care of my kids. And that's really important. That's super important. And his children, Dr. Lamb's children, like, adore him. And I'll tell you, the grandchildren, I know many of his grandchildren. They call him Zaida. He was a Galatiana. And Zaida, they call him Zaida with such affection. That's amazing.
What an accomplishment.
Baruch Hashem, great-grandchildren. Zaida. And that's extremely powerful. That's a legacy. That's a real legacy. We're talking about legacy. Legacy is, where would the Jewish world be without Dr. Lamb? We wouldn't have Yeshiva University today without Dr. Lamb. I remember in 1981, when I came to the Jewish Center, YU was chapter 11. YU was, it was horrific. We don't begin to realize that now. Baruch Hashem, YU went through a very tough time in the last couple of years, but Baruch Hashem, picking up. 1981, chapter 11. And Dr. Lamb, who was not a businessman, who had recently become the president of YU, rolled up his sleeves and worked very hard economically to figure out a way how to work with the banks and the this and the that. And he saved YU. Mamish, single-handedly, with the help of Balabatim, he saved YU. I remember when the announcement was made that Baruch Hashem, we're okay, I came to YU, he gave a talk, and he gave a talk on chapter 11 in Sefer Shmos. Chapter 11, you know, the world, chapter 11 is like you go bankrupt or something. So his whole Dvar Torah was chapter 11. And again, it shows how clever and creative he was. But we stand on his shoulders. I really mean it. That's a legacy. That's a legacy. What difference a life makes, besides all the intellectual, and besides the rabbi, besides the human being, but also the parent. So he was a very special person. Chaval al da'avdin. We really miss him. I miss him terribly. And Mrs. Lamb, She was an amazing woman. She was right there with him, cheerful, upbeat, optimistic, kind, loving, friendly, sharp. They were great. They were really great together. And she died of COVID. She died of COVID. She got it from their aide, who took the subway every day to come to their apartment, and she got sick. And at the end, it was very difficult for her. She was alone, and she suffered. And then he died shortly thereafter. And it's a great loss. It's a great loss. Really a great loss.
Really, may I clarify one thing? Because I just...
Sure.
Lo'olam Yehi Adam, which reminds me of just his incredible affinity to Chassidus.
Yes.
But at the same time, this bastion of rationality at the same
time. Yeah, isn't that amazing? Dr. Lam lived in a world of dialectics. So he was born in a Chassidish family, and he wrote his doctoral dissertation on the Nefesh HaChaim, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, Talmud of the Gra. He published a book on Chassidus. The journal Tradition is coming out in the next issue, with 2 issues from now, a special tribute to Dr. Lam. And I contributed an article on a book he wrote called The Shema. And Shema is a dialectic of spirituality and law. Like, we have to say the Shema, you have to be Mekayim the Shema. There's a mitzvah saseh to say Shema, Machlekes Rishonim. What is the Shema? Is it just the first pasuk? Is the first pasuk plus the first chapter, the first parak of V'ahavta? Is it V'ahavta and Vayim Shema? Is it all three? Big machlekes rishonim. But we know that Kriya Shema is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, that it's not just saying words, but it's also very internal. And there's a dialectic between the external law and the inner spirituality. He wrote an article which became a title of a book, Faith and Doubt. Voltman Gemeint, they're mutually exclusive, faith and doubt, law and spirituality, intellect, rigorous Gaon of Vilna intellect, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, and Chassidus. But it all worked seamlessly. They were not mutually exclusive for Dr. Lam, but rather they were reciprocally resonant for Dr. Lam. That was part of his godless. He tackled opposites, Chacham and Chassid. He has an article. I have a whole list of these opposites in this article that I wrote. Because you're right. You're right, Rabbi Trump. You're right. You'd imagine that there are different worlds, but he brought these worlds together, and he brought his incredible powers of intellectual rigor and focus onto everything that he did, and he explained Hasidic thought that way as well. He was also very prepared. He respected his audience. That's another takeaway for those of us who are listening. Don't open your mouth until you're prepared. Be prepared. The early years when I was at the Jewish Center, because I was a very young rabbi and did not have long-standing relationships with Balabatim, Rabbi Young, as long as he was alive, and Dr. Lam would both be invited to come to the Chasana. And very often they would invite Dr. Lam to speak. So I would stand there, and he would be the one who was speaking. And every single time, he put his hand into his jacket and he pulled out index cards under a chuppah. And he held the index cards. He didn't read from the index cards, but he held 5, 6 index cards that he moved one to the other. So you'd think, pasnished. You know, young rabbis growing up today, I'm going to read, and I'm going to have cards under the chuppah. It's like it's bush, you know, it's bizyonis. On the contrary, that's the way to go, because it shows you didn't just think about the vort on your way into the hall, like, what am I going to say tonight? But you're prepared. And the phrases and the language and the alliteration was very, very important to him. And he brought all that to bear on, as you point out, Rabbi Trump, the multiplicity of interests that he had.
I also wonder if that's, in a certain sense, the skill set for the intellect, the person who's sharing Divrei Torah, creating. I mean, all his drashas were so timely, but so relevant, so timeless, but so relevant to those times. Yeah. And yet, being the organizer, being an administrator, is a very different skill set. Being able to straddle both of those worlds also
right.
just a
that's remarkable. Right. And I would add fundraiser.
And fundraising.
Which and is fundraiser. There's fundraiser, there's administrator, and there's intellectual. And a family man.
And yeah,
he was a great man. He was a great man. We miss him. Is there anything else you want to cover, or we're running out of time?
In closing, as we stand here, we stand looking at this vacuum. Is there something, you've mentioned a number of things throughout the course of the conversation, is there something that would be that we can learn, we can take away, that we can be just incrementally a little closer to the reality that he wished and aspired to in this world as regular human beings?
I would say two things based on the conversation that we had. One of them is to be serious about our learning. Take it seriously. Think about it. Don't just be perfunctory, but be thoughtful. Think about what we learn. Think about what we read. Think about how we could use it and incorporate it into our worlds. Take our intellectual engagements seriously. First, engage in them. Recognize the power of the intellect and our exposure, the benefit of our exposure, and then think about it. And everybody, v'mezukt in Yiddish, memes tzachun avzich. Everybody, you know, some people could resonate with Daf Yomi, some people could resonate with the Mor Bi'iyun, some people resonate with Tanakh, with Tehillim, with reading biographies, you know, whatever it is that we do to enhance our Jewish knowledge and to take it seriously. And the other is to try to get out there and make a difference. Make a difference in the world. We're not all going to be president of Yeshiva University. We're not all going to be the rabbi of the Jewish Center. But each one of us in our own ways can make a difference. Very often we think, who am I? Yechves? You know, I mean, I'm a wonderful guy. You know, I'm a nice woman. You know, I mean, push it to Yid. You know, like I'm going to like make a difference. Yes, you're going to make a difference. You'll make a difference for the people with whom you interact. You'll make a difference, a small difference. You know, how does the world change? The world doesn't change with an earthquake. Kima, kima. Everybody does their piece, and we could all make a difference. And look for ways that you could make a difference. That I think will be very, very significant.
Harry, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for taking the time to share and for elevating us.
I wish you well. Big Yeshe Koyach for doing this, and thank you for thinking about remembering Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, Zichrono Livracha. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Rebbe. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.
All the best. And the best to everybody. Be well. Bye-bye.